We're gonna start.
All right, so we're holding today by, in my count, number nine. Number nine is Tahara. Tahara. It's an element of Tahara, of purity. It's part of the Kinyani Torah. Now, it's an interesting one because Tahara, obviously, is a beautiful thing. But we think that's, you know, some, like, Minas Chasidus, like, it's some Indian of Kedusha. We have to understand exactly how Tahara is a Kenyan Torah. So it's important for us to always understand, like we keep stressing, Torah is Kedusha. Torah is not just information. It's not your typical just study you would do in a college classroom or something. Torah is the Atmos of Kedusha. It's the Das of Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's something that you can't attach to Tumah. Hold on. Ladies' daily visit. There you go. Say hi.
There he is.
Everyone say hi. Okay, bye. See you later.
How are you doing?
Everyone's learning Torah. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, I'll see you later. Alright. It's something you can't attach Tahara to Tumah. When something is Tumah, when something is Tumah means it's mufka from connections to Tahara. And in contrast to other subjects, we don't care who's learning it. If he's a smart guy, puts efforts into what he holds on the subject. But Torah, being that's the aspects of Kedusha and Tahara, it can't attach to Tumah. As we keep stressing, you have to be the Kli Kibbul for Torah. Part of being the Kli Kibbul is an Inyan of Tahara. The Inyan of Timtum Alev is something that I've discussed before. I think it's an important Inyan. Timtum Alev, Chazal say that Averus caused what's called Timtum Alev. V'nit Mesimbam, it darshins, that Mesimbam isn't just Tumah, it's Timtum, it's clogging. There's this Indian and Ruchnius of being numb to Kedusha, that you just can't, you have a blockage. Timtum Amish, it's blocked. And I can't connect to the Kedusha because something's blocking me. So it's not that I'm doing anything wrong, but I have built into myself this blockade that I can't get through because of the Tumah that I've become involved in. That itself, that's an Akuda of Timtum Alev. Timtum Alev is something that blocks us from Ruchnius. And an example I say all the time, somebody can work very, very hard in learning, and it just doesn't go. You can work very hard on davening, it's just not going. And you ask yourself, well, why not? So often the answer is, I'm not putting in the time and effort to make it happen. I'm not putting in the mail list, I'm not putting in what needs to be put in to make it go. But on the other hand, sometimes the issue is just the Timtum Alev, that I have brought myself to a point of Tumah, that my neshama is just numb to it. It's being blocked and it can't connect. I can't feel the ruchnius. When I move past that through Unyanim of Tshuva, of Tahara, of Kapara, and I'm able to cleanse myself, so then suddenly I'm much more in tune with Tahara. There's an akuda said by, I think Ravitzel Pederberger says it, on the Talmidim of Rav Salanter. I think it's him. He says that, how does one judge if they had a good Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a day where it's Latayra Eschem, it's a day of Tahara. So he says, Motzi Yom Kippur, you should feel a little more into the Ruchnias. You should feel it. Because if you wipe away the Tumah, if you mamish experience the Tahara of Yom Kippur, so then you're going to be in tune with Ruchnias. It's going to connect. You're not going to be numb anymore. It's going to be real. It's going to hit you. You're going to be on the same wavelength as it. So if you feel Motzi Yom Kippur, just a little bit more into the Ruchnias, then you know you had a good Yom Kippur. You know you achieved Tahara. If you feel the same as the day before, so then chas v'shalom, maybe you didn't achieve the tahara that you're looking for. But that's all. It's all an Indian of tahara, of avoiding the things that are metameyas. So it's what's metameyas? So averus metameyas, right? Averus, you know, or like the Gemara says, it's averus metamtim esalev that creates timtum. In the end of actual tumah and tahara. So those are always considered in Yanim, like Gemara speaks about, a chavar was nizr and tumat tahara. So there's no chiyah to nizr in these things, but itaka did make a difference. It sounds like, from the Gemaras, it sounds like if you're nizr in tumah, you're allowed to be tameh. No, there's no isr, unless you're a kohen, there's no isr becoming tameh. If a kohen, it's dafka by mis. But lamaisa, tumah did mean something, and it could be that people are nizr in tahara, we're able to connect with Ruchnias. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that for us, but it is something. It's something out there. But the main thing for us is Avera, and then the Taras HaMachshava, Taras HaMaisa, that our Machshava should be clean and pure. Obviously, Stakwas, Huri, Avera are things that bring Tum upon ourselves. Things you think about make a difference. And the Taras HaMaisa, I mean, that our Maisim should be clean Maisim, in that they should be focused, they should be correct, they should be filled with tov and emes, and shouldn't have in them things that bring on tuma. Lack of tahara leads us to not connected to ruchnius. It leads to hirhuri avera. It leads to things which will draw us even further away. Krum thinking, biases. The famous Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan has a very famous piece in the beginning of Kodesh Maimarim, where he says that people who are the smartest people to ever live, you know, the people that we look at as the wise men of history, many of them were not maminim. Many of them certainly were not shomrei Torah mitzvos. And we expect a little bar mitzvah bachur at 13 years old to kabbal all the mitzvos, but the greatest minds in history were not. How can we expect that? He says very simple, because their thinking was krum, meaning that there was a sheichad, he calls it. They were bribed because they're negiyas. They didn't want to give up on the pleasures of this world. They didn't want to have to actually commit to what Torah requires you to commit to. They were scared of it. They didn't realize what Torah was going to give to them. And they were scared to commit themselves to giving up the pleasures of this world. So therefore, they're able to honestly, in their own minds, what they feel is honestly, reject Torah and Emunah. Now, if they weren't meshuchet in that way, they didn't have these negios, they didn't have these biases, so they could have been able to actually see them as a Torah. But when you have krum thinking, which is caused by your desire for avera, so that could create a way that you think in your own mind that you're being totally honest with yourself, and you're not, because the tahara is not there, and the tumah impacts the way you think, and the way you act, and the way you feel. So that's a Rav Elchanan. Hirori avera is stockless. You know, taivas are things that they're not just separate averos, but they actually remove us from tahara, and they destroy being receptive to ruchnius. Is the challenge with it? You know, the receptivity we have to ruchnius is very much impacted by taivas, by chemda, by things that overhouse that shove us away. So tahara really has an impact on us in a major way in learning. I think practically. So I want to share two things practically, and I'll ask you guys for your ideas. And practically, number one, I would say that we have to realize the way we spend our free time has a major impact on how we learn during Seder. Meaning that even if you put in all the effort that you can during Seder, you're there the entire time learning b'asmana rabba, but your free time is spent doing things which may not be so tahor. So it's not going to click. Torah is not going to connect to tumah. It's like you try to glue something to a dirty surface. It's not going to stick because the surface is dirty. Because when we put tumah in ourselves, that means that tahara is not going to be able to connect to the tumah. So what we do in our free time makes an impact on Beis Medrash, makes an impact on our davening and on our mitzvahs in general. It's often we think, well, I have other challenges. I'm learning well. But the issue is that the other challenges actually detract from the learning. And it makes the learning not even be as well because of the other challenges. Tara has a lot of practical ramifications. Obviously, we spoke about Nishmir Senayim, Hirhurim. The way we speak has also, we talk about the tum of the lips. You know, the way we speak, it also has to do with Tumah Tahara. We spoke about the other day how Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, I wish I had two mouths, one for Kedusha, one for Chulin. But now I only have one mouth, I better be sure I'm saying the right things. Because if your mouth becomes Tameh, then the words of Torah in your mouth also don't carry the same Kedusha, the same Tahara. So there's a lot of places in life where you know, Tahara really does have a major impact on what we do. So Rabbi say, how do we work on Tahara? What are some ways to work on Tahara? So simple, practical, daily ways to work on Tahara. More silence. Okay, but
I guess what you already said was like to be conscious of what you're doing in your free time and making sure it aligns with your learning.
Right, 100%. I think it's so important that what we do in our free time, you know, it's very hard to say I'm going to steig in learning, but my free time is spent doing, you know, you fill in the blank. But if that even if it's something that's mutter, but if it's not something that's going to be positive in your ruchnia, something that's going to bring in tumah in one way or the other, it's your challenges we have, but those things will impact the way we learn. Yeah, Levi.
I guess just the attitude that every moment of your day is towards building and ruchnius, and you shouldn't think that certain hours I do ruchnius things and that's my set time, and I don't need to worry about it the rest of the day. You should focus that every part of your day is either attributing to or being detrimental to your roughness. You shouldn't think it's two different times.
Right. Very good. Very good. Because it all impacts who you are. The Adam himself is impacted by everything. Eitan, you want to say something?
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe taking whatever we feel is the worst thing that we do that removes from our ability to focus and study, removes from our kedusha, and then if it's like, for example, let's say concentrating on watching a movie, right? So either not watching certain kinds of movies or limiting the amount of movies that one watches, or it's ending with anything, with books, just the worst thing, moving it closer and farther away from what would be the worst, then just kind of raising up our levels to make what would be the worst then a step up, and then later on eventually a step up from that. See, I'm not going to do that anymore. Now I'm going to say this amount of time or this amount or this specific subject. So we for this type of material, whatever it may be.
I like that. So Eitan's saying, let's think through it very specifically and say everyone has in their life that thing they think is the most extreme thing that brings tumma upon them. I see Shua's raising his hand. I never saw that before. Okay, we'll see it in a second, Shua. But so you think in your life about the things that you feel bring the most tumma to you, and then start working on that first. Now you could say it down the other way, that someone's taking the most extreme thing as the hardest thing to do. Take maybe smaller things that you feel bring tumma upon yourself, and then work towards the bigger things. So you can take it from either direction. But practically, I like the idea practically to think about specific things and work on them one by one to try to live a life of more tahara and less tumma. Yes, sure.
I was going to say that point, that sometimes it works better for people to just work on the easiest thing instead of the hardest thing. For some people, they feel like if they take on a big challenge, it helps them. Like, they feel good about it, and it gives them, like, I don't know, it motivates them to work on something big instead of working on something small. So.
Right. Okay, good. So as we said. But the idea is specific. I like this idea that think of a specific thing in your life that you feel does bring you tumma. And it can be a lot of things, you know. It's not only things that are terribly surim, but it could be places you go, things you speak about, things you see, things you read. There are a lot of things that might bring us into that world of tumma that we want to avoid. So that's the Indian of tahara. Right. Next one's maybe we'll stop there. Next one's going to be also a bigger discussion, so I don't want to take up too much time. Fine. Any questions? All right. Shkoyach. Okay. Why?
All right. Nothing. Shkoyach. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll put you guys in your breakout rooms, and I'll see you soon.
Okay.